Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, or blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. When we got back to Corinthians yesterday, and we hadn't been there in a little while, I mentioned to you that 2 Corinthians is probably one of his most personal epistles, in the sense that in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually shares much more about his feelings, about what's going on within him. He's been discouraged. He's been beaten up. Sometimes he felt like he's kind of lost his way. And we have a little bit of a description, and it kind of starts here, and it will continue on. Remember, in chapter 3, Jesus was talking about, or I'm sorry, Paul was talking about this new covenant. Remember the old with Moses, and they had the veil that was there because they couldn't handle the glory, if you guys remember yesterday. And so he's kind of continuing on that same kind of picture, and I want to take a step back. And so he starts chapter 4, and here's this little nugget here. And he says, therefore, we have this ministry. Remember, the people were coming against his apostleship. And he says, we have received mercy, and we do not lose heart. This term, we do not lose heart, is actually going to bookend this chapter. He'll say it later on in chapter 16. Same thing. Therefore, we're not going to lose heart. Whatever happens, we're not going to give up. Here's this ministry that God's given us. All these trials are happening. But whatever happens, we're not going to give up. And we're going to see actually what happens to us if we don't give up. We'll get that in a little bit later on. And so he's using this picture again, all the way going back chapter 3, about this veil that's there. Veil that will be lifted up. Moses had the veil. Remember, it was the law. It was the old covenant. But now this veil, the face is not Moses. The face is Christ. And we are the ones that are producing this picture of Christ by our actions, by our lives, by the way we do things. And he says that the God of this world is blinding the minds. And in a sense, he's using this picture of the veil again. And so they cannot see the gospel of the glory of God because the devil has blinded them and there's this veil over them. And so he's talking here. Let's read verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel. Remember going all the way back to the light, which was the glory back in the old covenant, that they might see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So he's using that Old Testament motif, and he's showing us what the new covenant is like, and it's the face of Christ, and it's shown through us now. And so we see a different... Again, we talked yesterday about dispensations. A different dispensation is coming up here. And then from verse 7, he gets into this really beautiful, profound thing that happens to us in this world, in our life, especially if we endure and not lose heart. And so he says, so we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about us. And this is, Paul is dealing here with this, he's laying out a dichotomy for us. We have this treasure, this incredibly valuable thing, but it's in an earthen vessel. It's in, other translations will describe it as jars of clay. And so this beautiful, incredible thing, it's the gospel, it's Christ, it's life in God. And it's covered... The covering of this treasure is this earthen vessel. It's our body. It's something that's decaying. And he's talking about things that are happening to him now. And so you guys are familiar. Who's that guy? Tommy Walker, right? He sings his song. Help me out, Nate. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. What's the name of the song? Yeah, Trading My Sorrows. This is actually where it comes from. You know, you remember, yes, Lord, you remember that thing, right, that we do. He says, we're afflicted, but we're not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, he's not necessarily talking about his own incredible ability to overcome something. You know, he's not really talking about himself. He's not saying, well... you know, the enemy struck me down, but man, I'm so strong, I got right back up. No, what he's talking about this dichotomy of our life. In that, in the sense, there's a treasure in us, but it's wrapped up in this earthen vessel. And so on the outside, yeah, you know, they're crushing me, but because this treasure is within me, let me fix the words, what he's pressing down, but he's not crushed. Or he's afflicted, he's perplexed, earthen vessel, but because his treasure, let me use the words that he says, he's not despairing. He's persecuted, the earthen vessel, but he's not forsaken. He's struck down, earthen vessel, but he's not destroyed. And so he's not talking about his will is being risen up. He's talking about the reality of our life right now, that there is this treasure in this jar of clay. And so it talks about we're constantly being delivered over to death, but this death is actually producing life for everyone around us. And so I may be suffering, I may be going through something, but that suffering is actually leading to something, and we'll get into this a little bit later on. It's actually really quite beautiful and profound. And then he in verse 13, he quotes the psalmist, Psalm 116, He says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Let's go to Psalm 116. And let's read what the psalmist is saying a little bit. It'll give us a little better idea. And so the question being raised, Paul is being raised, so why should I keep doing this if I'm being crushed, if I'm being perplexed, if I'm being persecuted, if I'm being struck down? What benefit do I have if I do this? And if you look at Psalm 116, go to verse 10. I believed when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord. And it continues on. So this phrase, I believed when I said. In other words, there was something, there was a power that was being released when he actually began to speak. when he actually begin to move out, when he actually begin to work and do things. And so I believe, therefore I spoke. When he spoke, something happened. And it's almost like something was produced when he began to act out in what is going on in his life. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? Let's say you're going through a time of trial, a time of difficulty. Isn't that the moment of faith? Isn't the moment of faith actually not when things are going well? That's the moment of praise. Like, if things are going well and you don't praise, there's something definitely wrong with you. Now, when things are not going well and you praise, that's faith. And he's saying here, I spoke when I believed. And remember, the idea of belief or believing in Scripture is not cognitive. It's not thinking, or it's not intellectualizing. The idea of believing is actually action. It's putting feet to the vision, per se. So when you believe, the overflow is action. And you can go through the Gospels, and Jesus talks about this at length. I don't want to spend too much time on that. And says, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So he's connecting himself to the psalmist back in the Old Testament. Remember, he's constantly doing this, right? Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, old, new, back and forth, back and forth. And then he's continuing on talking about this treasure in the earthen vessel. And now Paul gets a little more deep, a little more profound. So he goes back. Therefore, remember, he started off chapter 1 or verse 1, therefore we do not lose heart. So he goes back to that thought. Therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, this is Paul's making this point, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Though there's an earthen vessel, there's this treasure. The outer, every day is decaying. It's getting worse. The treasure, the inner, is growing day by day. And that's the actual translation in Greek. Day by day it's growing. He's talking about it's happening. Now, some people point to this and say, well, is Paul talking about the Greek duality? In the sense that, remember, the Greeks had a different view of the body, but also the soul. And in other words, you could do anything you want to the body because it has no connection whatsoever. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is also not talking about the new creation and the old creation, the new nature, old nature. He'll write other things, but he actually doesn't really deal with that here in 2 Corinthians at all. So what Paul is talking about in a kind of a very natural sense, he's giving us this picture of this aspect of self. In other words, he's giving us a different perspective. There's this aspect of self, crushed down, perplexed, all these things, that is literally wasting away. Our body is wasting away. Think about this. When we see babies, we're, oh, so cute, so beautiful, so precious. Yes, all those things. But think about in this context. From the moment that baby is alive, from day one, that baby gets closer to its death. I know that's not a very sobering thought. Where is this guy going here? But isn't that the reality? Every day, this baby, newborn, one day old, that day is now closer to its death. And every single day that we live is one day closer to our death. And so he's telling us, he's giving us this perspective up here, and he's saying our outer body is decaying every single day. It is dying every single day. There was this really well-known theologian, and he said this. He says that if I'm going to burn out, I'm going to burn out for God. Just real simple. In other words, if my body, and literally I am burning out, I am dying, I'm going to wither away, then I'm going to wither away for God. I'm going to take every ounce that I have in this natural process of dying, and I'm going to do it for the Lord. And so he's giving us one perspective of this, the earthen vessel. Every single day, this vessel is dying. It's a natural progress. It's a progressive weakening. It's a progressive weakening of stamina. As I'm getting older, We actually, our good friend Jonathan is here, and we're actually talking about eyesight last night, late into the night. And I used to have 20/10 vision. Can you believe that? I could have been a pilot, you know, if I wanted to. I mean, I had such good, in other words, what a normal, what would they call perfect vision, what they could see at 10 feet, I could see at 20 feet. Before I moved to Hong Kong, one of my old students became an ophthalmologist, and so she did like a 2-hour full eye test. You know, she wanted to bless me before we moved to Hong Kong, you know, almost 10 years ago, and I was 20/15 vision. Still pretty good, but she said bordering on 20/20 right now. I would say last year, I think the beginning of last year, I was trying to read something, and it was a bit dark, and all of a sudden, I did this. I was like, oh, crap. I'm getting old, you know, and so I can see my eyesight is progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And so we recognize this, right? Our body, this vessel, this earthen vessel is decaying every single day. That's what's happening. And so Paul is giving us a bird's eye view of a different picture, but he contrasts that. We don't lose heart. Because even though our outer man is decaying, we're getting old, you know the picture when we were babies, we crawled, and then we got younger, and we started running, and then when we get old, we go back to our back starts creeping down again, and it's the same kind of problem. We're decaying, but now he's giving us a different perspective. And so he's not necessarily contrasting per se, but he's giving us perspectives, and he's saying, but yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And you picture this. As we're walking in Christ, our outer man is decaying and decaying and decaying, but our inner man is growing and growing and growing. And it's the word, perfect word, day by day. It's happening gradually. Outer man, inner man. And even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is growing and growing and growing. There's this, in South America, there's this tree. It's called the cow tree. Have you heard of this tree? It's real. This cow tree, it's a very ugly-looking tree, actually, and it grows off a perch of rocks. And so it's actually not that solid of a foundation, its roots. And it grows up, and it grows kind of withered. And when you look at the tree on the outside, it looks dead. You probably think the tree was poisonous, or it was like a rubber tree. You know, it's more petrified in these things. But the South Americans, they know if they take the tree and they cut the bark of the tree, out actually comes milk. This beautifully sweet milk. And so that's how the South Americans, they sustain themselves. Look, Google it, you know. I mean, just really amazing. And so it's that same picture. Our earthen vessel, the outside, we look like we're dead. Paul is saying, I don't look like much. I'm beat down, I'm all these things, are happening, that's one perspective, and that's just dying every single day. But there's something, it's Christ in me, rising up inside of me, and every day it's getting stronger and stronger, and it's producing something. That treasure is producing something. What is that something? So, he's giving us this perspective. So, verse 17, powerful verse. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So he's talking about outer man, all these things that are happening. He's saying, Corinthians, get some perspective in your life. Your outer man is already decaying. Every day it's getting worse and worse. This is progressive nature of life. We're getting old. Our stamina, our intellectual faculties, our mind, all these things are going to die every single day. Every day is closer to our death. But the treasure inside of us is growing. It's alive. And what this momentary light affliction, this is what's going to produce. All this stuff is happening on your outside. What this does, what's happening on that, what it produces, it produces glory. And he uses this term, it's like double imperative. He says he is producing an eternal weight of glory. So he's saying is a weight of weights. Remember, glory, he's using the word here, doxa, is actually from the Hebrew, the word kavod, which means heaviness or weight. And so he's using this double imperative to say to us that it's kind of like this doesn't even compare at all, because it's the weight of weights. It's the holy of holies. You know, we use the word doubly sometimes to really emphasize a point. And he's saying that all this stuff is just momentary light affliction. Now, this is the key. Affliction does not give way to glory. In other words, affliction doesn't just turn into glory someplace. We think that, right? Well, if I just endure this, then I'm going to be stronger. There's a sense. What Paul is saying, that affliction actually produces glory. It just doesn't give way. It doesn't just subside. Affliction, what happens to us, the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties that we go through, it actually produces glory in our life. Another way of saying that, if you don't go through affliction, if you don't go through trials, you don't get any glory. Isn't this scriptural theme that's laid out here? Isn't the glory come after the sacrifice? The sacrifice is made, and then his glory came. It was the sacrifice that brought the glory. And he's giving us this idea, and he's saying, Corinthian church, have this perspective in your life, that affliction, trials, tribulation, temptation produces glory. And because Paul is asking us to rise up and we can see this perspective, then whatever those things come to us, he says, oh, it's just momentary light affliction. It's like someone gets cancer, and Paul's saying that's like a mosquito bite, because it's producing glory in our lives. If your focus is on Christ, right? If your focus is on Jesus, right? Your focus is on the treasure, not the earthen vessel. You know, it's hardship. It's like working out. People know that when you work out, intensive weightlifting, those kind of things, it produces muscles. It's strenuous, it's difficult, there's stress, there's tension, but when those things happen, it produces muscle, it produces a healthy body. It's the same picture. Momentary light affliction, those things that stress us and all these things, it produces glory. It creates something in our life. It doesn't just come out of a vacuum. And so in some ways, Paul is asking us to embrace these things that come into our life, because our perspective is not temporal. Our perspective is eternal. Right? Affliction does not give way to glory. Affliction produces glory, just like weightlifting produces muscles. And we know that if you start working out, it doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean? But it happens. And if any guys worked out, you know, actually in the beginning of the year, I was actually working a lot. I stopped, unfortunately. I got a little too busy and whatnot. But I remember, I don't want you to think I'm vain or anything, but I kind of am. But, you know, in any case, I remember one day, you know, and I was working out, and, you know, you don't really see the progress and whatnot. And then one day my wife came up to me, you know, and she just did kind of like, ooh, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Because, when you see someone every single day and they're kind of changing, but you don't really notice it that much. But then let's say you leave for a certain period of time and then you come back and people are like, whoa, you're totally different, man. It's kind of like that. Because we see ourselves every single day, and because this momentary light affliction, and we don't really recognize the glory or what God's producing and doing with us, this treasure, but other people can recognize it. They're like, oh, man, did you lose weight? Or, oh, you've been working out or something? And really, you haven't really been doing anything different. It's just that the person had a perspective of time away. It's like our kids. We were gone for a month, and so many people commented, oh, man, Emma looks totally different. I'm like, well, we were with her every day. She looks exactly the same to me. It's the perspective of time. It's the perspective of another vision. I have the vision every single day, but many of you have the vision of now a month, and you can see into something. You're like, yo, she's totally different. This is what this is like. Momentary light affliction is producing for us the weight of weights. Glory. Like glory upon glory. It may be another way of we can say this. And it's the double term is so it's far beyond all comparison. And when we go through, and if you've ever gone through a period of difficulty, I mean, something happened is really difficult, but you came out of that season, I bet you most of us will look back and say, you know what, Lord, I'm thankful that I went through that. I'm thankful because you got the perspective of time. You got the perspective of vision. And you realize that, man, what I went through made me the person that I am right now. The stress, the tension, the trial, it actually produced something. Paul calls it glory. The doxa, the kavod, the presence of God working and moving in our lives. And as a side note, and out of that, what happens when those trials, then we're actually able to minister to other people in that same way. You remember our statement in inner healing? Hurt people, but free people, free people. It's like because we experience something and overcome, and then all of a sudden we're able to release that to other people. It becomes an incredibly beautiful thing that happens in our lives. And so he says, it's just in comparison, because what you get, like kind of the return that you get, is so much more than what you're suffering or what happens. It's the glory of glories. And so he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, so this is the key, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then chapter 5, Paul will get into what that means, what he's talking about that. And he uses this perfect analogy of the tent. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. And so he says, so because we're able to do this because we're looking at Christ. We're looking at God who is unseen. Instead of our vessel, our jars of clay, he's saying, I'm going to focus on the treasure that's inside of me. The treasure that's growing day by day. And I mean, and if you're like doing investing or things like that, are you going to invest your time, resources, all those things on something that's going to keep dying every day? Or something that's going to grow and start living more and more every day, right? Obviously, you pick the one that's got the higher upside, right? And so he's saying, focus on the treasure, not necessarily on what's going on around here. Amen? Let's close our eyes. As Monica leads us in a song of worship, let me encourage you to go before the Lord. And really, if nothing else, ask God for this perspective that Paul had. Earthen vessel, treasure. Paul saying, I'm going to focus myself on the treasure that's growing day by day instead of the earthen vessel that is perishing, decaying every day. And when you start getting that perspective, it starts changing the way that we live our life today in terms of hardships, persecution. And I didn't mention this, but I should. And he's not talking about a glory that comes when we go to heaven. In other words, there's a mentality in the church. It's I'm just going to suffer now, and that's my life is screwed. I'm just going to suffer, then I'm going to get to heaven, and everything's going to be okay. No, he's actually talking about experiencing heaven on earth, day by day glory. It's not something that we wait for, but our inner man is being renewed. And think of it as every day that inner man is being renewed day by day until the time of Christ, where we become perfected. It's not waiting for heaven for all our troubles to be gone. is actually experiencing heaven in His glory every single day. We're not hiding out until heaven. We're experiencing heaven on earth, His glory, day by day, the weight of glory. And so this morning, just ask God to give you a perspective change on your life. If there's difficulty going on, maybe you're too comfortable. That's the curse of the Western culture. That's the curse of affluence. And you need to move out of your comfort zone. Because you want glory. So as Mon leads us in worship, let's just go before the Lord and let's just talk to Him about that.
troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go. And oh no, you never let go. Through the coming, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. In every high, in every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go.
You remember when we read James, and you've read James before, and he said, consider all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. You thought James must be crazy. What in the heck is this guy talking about? He can say something like that because he understands what Paul is saying. Momentary light affliction is producing in us a weight of glory beyond all comparison. And so this morning, let's give God our hearts again. Especially if you're going through a time of difficulty. Going through a season. And I want to say this to you. Holy Spirit, speak into your heart of hearts. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And in the passing, it's like an exchange. God's giving you glory. It's producing glory in you. Day by day, renewal. And so let's give Him our hearts right now as we go before God. Let's go to our corporate prayers. Let's pray for our community, especially those ones that in this literal sense, the outer is decaying over and over again with cancer, with other kinds of illnesses and diseases. Let's pray for our community that are going through this, that are going through chemotherapy and need transplants, and that literally their body is fading. And as we pray for physical healing, let's also pray that the inner man grows day by day by day, that they're being strengthened. Even though their outer body is decaying, that the Spirit of God is strengthening every single day. And so literally, and I'm not talking about pronouncing death or something, but death is, we call it, it's the promotion of glory. That they're being renewed every day in this way. And so let's just pray over our community as you look on the screen. Let's pray for our community that also is dealing with sickness, but more than that is dealing with the issue of salvation. Especially as we study 2 Corinthians 4, we realize the imperative nature for that veil to be lifted off. It's decaying every day, but without Christ, there is no renewal of the inner man. And so let's pray for our members of our family, our church family, that are sick, but more than that, are eternally sick and need that word of God in their life. And then let's also pray for others that have different infirmities in our community, and let's ask the Lord to move and to heal them as well. Let's pray. Pray for our community as well that are looking for work. Let's ask God to open the doors supernaturally for them, and the Lord would really speak to them and guide them in the right path. Let's lift them up right now. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's really thank God for just incredible two trips, two different teams at Bloom and at New Life in their worship conference. I've just heard so many glowing reports of what God did through that time. And let's continue to pray for the missionaries that are still there and the ministries. Pray for Pastor Oh, and pray for Pastor Tang and New Life Church. Pray that there will be a really great fruit from the worship conference. Let's pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and Grace and Bloom. Let's ask God to really continue to meet with them in a special way. Let's also pray for the Philippines. Let's pray for our clinic there outside of Manila, and pray for Mr. Zhang, who's running the clinic, and pray for Bhutan. Ask the Lord that the light of the gospel continue to spread through these places. And let's lift up Cambodia and the Philippines and Bhutan, and let's ask the Lord to move upon these places and use us to be a catalyst into these places. Let's pray. Let's cover our team that's in Japan right now. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, who's leading this team. They come back on the 19th. This is our last mission trip of the summer of service. And let's really ask God to bless them and use them. And, you know, we're all quite aware how difficult of a place Japan is spiritually. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit would cover them, anoint them, use them, that they would be like bulldozers in the Spirit, and nothing will get in their way of the divine purposes of God over them. And so let's just cover them right now. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our frontline people, our intercessory prayer team. Pray for the big team and the small team. Continue to pray for Matt and lift him up as he leads. Pray for protection, wisdom. Pray for the spirit of prophecy to continue to be released. Let's pray for Cascade and the Well, our healing ministries. Let's pray for Larry and for Rachel and Leanne as they lead. And pray for many people that come and to receive healing in the form of physical or inner healing, and the counselors, they'll be protected, and God will just give them such wisdom as they minister, such heart. Let's also pray for our local outreach as we minister all throughout Hong Kong and grab a hold of God's heart here in Hong Kong and minister to the lost and the poor and the prostitutes. Let's pray for divine appointments and just a real grace and a willingness in our hearts to get out of our comfort zone here in this place. Let's lift up these ministries and the leaders and team members and ask God's will to be accomplished through them. Let's pray for tonight at our summer Bible study as the men and women come together. And tonight is going to be a little unique in that we're actually going to have Bible study together. I'm going to be teaching about Adam and Eve, and I think it's going to be a very fruitful evening. And so pray that people will come out, that work schedules will be released, and as they come together, that we'd learn about Adam and Eve and how they related to each other and kind of what happened and how that affects us today. And so let's really pray for a fruitful time. Pray for a great time of fellowship as we break bread together. And that Holy Spirit would just breathe on the teaching and the time of prayer and connection. And we just really continue to grow even as our house churches are on a break. So let's cover our SBS Summer Bible Study right now. And lastly, let's cover our retreat that's coming up, end of September. Pastor Dominic Yao and Pastor Ong Sek Leng, let's ask God to bless these men. Give them messages right now. And really, there will be a real impartation. And Holy Spirit will just breathe over us. Like I said yesterday, it's going to be a unique retreat. We get another night there, and so the schedule is going to be a little more freer for more times of fellowship and hanging out, and it's really loving each other as a community, as well as times of just going forward in God. And let's cover that time. Let's cover all the logistics. We're also having a team, our SP Singapore, SP Beijing coming out as well. And so it's going to be our first kind of international retreat. And so let's just ask God's hand. Pray for people's work schedules to be freed up. Pray for people's finances to be opened up. Pray for people's hearts that they would really anticipate God moving upon us, because He will. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never fail us. And so let's just cover our retreat right now. Father, we thank You for this morning, God. We thank You, God, even as we prayed and as we learned and as we focused on You, God, that, God, something was happening in our inner being. Lord, we were being renewed day by day, God, moment by moment, even though our outer body is decaying, God, inside, in our spirit, God, it was bursting forth. We thank you. We thank you that any troubles, God, any things that come in our way, times of confusion, times of discord, Lord God, all these things, they're not giving way to glory, God, but they are producing glory, God. That in that, Lord, is something is being manufactured in our lives, Lord, this weight of glory. And so we thank you, Lord God. We understand James when he said, consider all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. And so we want to have that kind of perspective in our life, Lord. And so change us, God. Renew our minds, Lord. We thank you, Father. And we pray that every single day, God, as we draw closer and closer to death and to our coming into you, Lord God, that our spirit is so full, our body decays, and we enter in, God, with such glory. Let it happen every day, Lord. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Lord God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Enjoy your time of prayer. We'll go through chapter 5 tomorrow. It'll be a wonderful time as well. And so we'll see you guys tomorrow.